Well, hey, Bridgepoint, thanks for doing church with us today. My name is Chad. What a privilege it is, always a privilege, for me to be able to be with you wherever, however, whenever you are doing church with us. We just love being with you. Maybe you're at a watch party, a part of a house group, a group of people that you do life with day in and day out. Maybe actually by the time you're watching or listening to this, it'll be on the YouTube channel or via podcast. Maybe you're live right now in a place of relaxation, or you are in the car moving, right? Hustling and bustling somewhere. We just love doing church with you. There are a lot of ways in this new world to do church, and I hope you are taking advantage of some of these new opportunities. For me, on a personal level, our family last week, we did something new. We jumped into a watch party. The group had already been going on, and we decided to give it a try. There's my little girl right there, baby Iris, sitting on mom's lap. She didn't move the whole time. She took in the whole service, really engaged with worship all the way through the message, even did prayer and care at the end. Just kidding, right? What did was it totally smooth? Right? No. Did the parents, were we able to take in the whole message from beginning to end in one sitting? No. Did our kids love it? Yes. Was it so good for my wife and I and for our children, the family collectively? Was it spiritually nourishing and relationally fulfilling? Yes, because it's the church. It's people being together and growing in their faith. It was awesome. And so here's why I share this with you. I just want to encourage you to take a step of faith, all right? To try something new. In the world that we're living in today, it's pretty much our options are evolve or die. As a church, we are choosing to evolve. We are choosing growth. Growth equals change. Change should equal growth. So we want to embrace the new reality. And so if your spirit is longing for that relational connectivity that you used to find in the church, or maybe you're just jumping in, you're going to give church a chance. If you're looking for that spiritual nourishment, I encourage you from firsthand experience to step forward in a step of faith. That's what we're talking about today, faith. Step forward in an act of faith. Try something new. Now, here's our commitment to you as a church. In the next couple weeks, so help us God, we will provide for you a detailed description, best practices, serving as a guide for you within our house groups, watch parties, how to experience Bridgepoint from home. All right, so maybe the idea of leading a group is intimidating to you, but you would be more than happy to open up your home to host a group. Contact us. Let us know if you're in the chat. Reach out right now, or whether it be a direct or private message or email. But let us know, because we want to do everything we can to make sure that we are doing life with you in a new world with new ways of experiencing church. We just want to walk with you. So there's our commitment to you, all right? We are continuing our series called Surrounded. We've been going through this series for the last several weeks, all right? And the series is really focused on the battles raging all around us, hashtag 2020, okay? Week one, Tyler got the party started for us by kind of stating the foundational missional statement that has been carrying us throughout the series, that in our fight, with all the chaos around us, with our fight, we don't fight people, we fight for people, all right? Big difference. Week two, we had a powerful worship experience right here in our St. Pete community. It was awesome. Week three, we spoke on the belt of truth. That's where the spiritual armor in which we've been discussing begins. It begins by buckling up the belt of truth. The big idea was that truth is not a weapon to be used of oppression, but instead it's to unlock freedom. Truth. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, not pound you into the ground with relentless Facebook posts, right? Truth brings freedom, not oppression. Week four, I was up here with a weighted vest talking about the breastplate of righteousness, that in our spiritual battles, we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory, and we have the freedom when we wear that vest to operate as people who have nothing to prove and nothing to lose. I know that's been huge in my life. Last week, it talked about the feet of peace. And Tyler stated that we feel the most surrounded when we dwell the least in peace. And a very memorable beginning to that message, if you were to go back and watch or listen to that one. So today, drum roll please, it brings us right up to the shield of faith. The shield of faith. So let's pick it up. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Here's why the shield of faith matters. It's not just one of the pieces of armor, but it's the piece of armor that enables us to experience all of God's blessings. The shield of faith is how we experience all these blessings that we've been talking about. Let's pick it up here. Ephesians 6:16. It says, in addition to all this, what's it talking about? All the pieces of armor. I mean, we've been going through this for weeks now, okay? So it's hard for me to even remember to list them all out. Breastplate of righteousness, the shoes or the feet of peace, the belt of truth, okay? So now Paul's saying, in addition to all these, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. All right. Today, we're going to work backwards through this verse. You see, we've been talking a lot about flaming arrows. You've heard that phrase if you've been a part of the series. If you're just jumping in now, you're going to hear that phrase a lot today. Flaming arrows. What does it mean for the devil to shoot flaming arrows at us? What does that look like? Because flaming arrows, we could start to imagine that they're kind of like cute little darts, you know? Little pricks on the skin, a mosquito bite, small bee sting. Although, small bee stings cause big problems, all right? But here's what a flaming arrow was in ancient culture. A flaming arrow looked more like this, a javelin. That's what a flaming arrow looked like. They're more like javelins. Hey, did you get hit by a javelin this week? And maybe in your marriage, there was a conversation that turned into an argument that went bad. You got hit by a javelin. Maybe it's with alcohol. At some point, you just stopped caring. It controlled you. And you experienced the regrets that came with that. You got hit by a javelin. And maybe you got news that was devastating this week. Your heart was broken. You got hit by a javelin. Maybe it was your job security. Your job security, you found out, took a big hit this week. You got hit by a javelin. Maybe a health scare, right? But all kinds of things that the devil continues to fire our way aren't little pricks, all right? Aren't just little things where we could just flick off our forearm. They are javelins. And here's what I've learned. In this week, firsthand experience, not to air my dirty laundry here with you, but just to show that I'm a real person too, I got hit by a javelin this week. I was having a conversation that turned into an argument. That's where that example comes from. And it went bad. And at one point, I snapped in anger. And I woke up the next morning and all throughout the night feeling the conviction that comes from the Spirit of God, because I knew I messed up. I knew I lost control. And I wasn't looking to make the mistake. I wasn't trying to make the mistake. I really believed that I was good with God and people and life. But I got hit by a javelin. Why? Because for just a moment, I let my guard down. I took off my spiritual armor. I became lax. But the devil never becomes lax in firing his flaming arrows. The devil never takes a day, a moment, a situation, an opportunity, an email, a text, a conversation, an argument. He never takes an opportunity off to throw a javelin at your heart. In fact, because of that, we have to stay constantly suited up. We have to gear up. In fact, when you look at Ephesians chapter 6 and this paragraph that we've been going through for the last several weeks, in verse 14, beginning there, if you just look at the commands to take action, personal action, to suit up, to gear up. You'll hear some of the imperatives like this. For example, starting with verse 14, stand firm then. Stand firm then. Well, first of all, actually, be strong in the Lord. That's where it begins, even before verse 14. In verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's a command. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. That's a command. Put on the full armor of God. Catch the repeated emphasis. Be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, you hear the initiative in that? Stand firm then. Repeated emphasis. Take up the shield of faith. That's action oriented. Take the helmet of salvation. That's action oriented. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. That demands action. Be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. This communicates a necessity, a vitality for constant awareness and engagement in us taking up our spiritual armor. I have to make sure that in my life there aren't lax areas where I am allowing the devil to throw a javelin right at my sternum, to give him, as the Bible says, a foothold. I think of Proverbs where it says, a person who plays with fire will get burned. I got to suit up. I have to gear up. I can't be a soldier marching in battle who believes that for a second the war's no longer going on and I let my armor down just to take the kiss of death. I got to suit up. I got to gear up. But here's the problem. I can't do it alone. I can't stay on guard all the time. I mean, I try. So just my example of this past week, I try. I'm not looking to let my guard down. It's not abnormal for me to go to a meeting and prior to the meeting, ask God's Spirit to fill me and take out pride or selfishness. Help me, this is always a prayer of mine, help me to listen more than I talk. The staff would say, I do a pretty bad job of that a lot of the time. Because here's the thing, I go into the meeting and within moments, I fall down the slippery slope of human error. I need people around me to help me stay suited up. I need people around me to ask, Chad, I hear a lot of fear from you. Are you operating with the belt of truth? I need people to encourage me to put on that breastplate of righteousness. Chad, you don't sound right now like someone who's operating as a person who has nothing to prove to anyone, but also nothing to lose. It sounds like another ambition is driving you. I need people to ask me, Chad, do you feel right now that you have peace? You seem to kind of be slipping and sliding all over the place. Are you experiencing peace? Do you feel God's peace right now? I need to be surrounded by people who can help me stay suited up, gear up, suit up, shields up. I need people in my life to help me continue to stay aware of the devil's schemes. Because here's the thing, these javelins weren't meant to kill, they were meant to distract. The devil's javelins are meant to distract from advancement. So these javelins, they'd be dipped in tar and then lit on fire, ignited, right? And when these arrows, these javelins were launched, the goal wasn't to kill the opponent, although that would probably be welcomed, okay? But instead, the main purpose was to distract, because the belief was this, the practice was this. A soldier could not be both consumed with putting out fires all around them and advancing at the same time. You cannot be both consumed with putting out the fires around you and at the same time advancing. Right now in your life, is your life more about mission and purpose and advancement in God's kingdom and walking by faith? Are you experiencing some peace and joy in the life that Christ gives you? No one's perfect, but are you experiencing those things? Or have those things all been given to the fires around you? Some people call that sideways energy, but Scripture says those flames come from the devil firing flaming arrows at us. Are we more consumed right now about putting out our fires or about advancing? Here's the thing. The devil, he's got flaming arrows. He's got javelins. But we have a shield. We have a shield of faith. We can advance in our God-given destiny by taking up the shield of faith. All right, scripture, let's go right back to this verse, says this. Again, working backwards here. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, in ancient Roman culture, all right, the shield, probably this like replicates it in density, but not so much in dimensions. In ancient Roman culture, the Roman soldier, the shield was about 2.5 feet wide and a little over 4 feet long. It was like a small door, if you will. And out of all of the armor of a Roman soldier, it was so prestige, right? But the shield, like you couldn't miss the shield. It was so big that a Roman soldier could actually crouch behind the shield and his whole body be covered. In fact, they would even use the shields in collective formations. One formation called the turtle formation. The shields would be dipped in water. It would be used to put out those flaming arrows. And what they would do is they would come together and they would form an impenetrable defense. So, for example, in the movie 300, all right, some of us, we got to go back a little bit for that one, okay? But in the movie 300, there's like this huge group, the Persian Empire, 1 million Persian soldiers, and they threaten the Spartan soldiers by saying, hey, we're going to shoot our fiery arrows, our javelins into the sky, so many that it's going to blot out the sun, right, in our attack against you. And a Spartan soldier responds, well then, we will fight in the shade. Fast forward, the battle's ongoing. The Persian soldiers, they fire away those flaming arrows, those javelins. And the Spartan soldiers crouch down and collectively hold up their shields. So much so that at one point a soldier begins to laugh as they form this impenetrable defense. He's asked, why is he laughing? He said, well, you had to just say it, didn't you? We're fighting in the shade. We're fighting in the shade. These soldiers were willing and able to have peace, even joy, confidence during an onslaught of an attack. Why? Because they had a shield. They were able to fight in the shade. Well, we, as believers, we have a shield too. And we are able to fight in the shade as well. Now, a couple things worth knowing about the shield of faith. When we're going through these pieces of armor, the first few there, the shoes or the feet of peace, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, all of those had a different participle tense to them. So when you read it, and when you read those first few pieces of armor, it sounds like this, all right? Stand firm then with the belt of truth already buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness already in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness already that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. It's a different participle. It's a different tense. It's now action-oriented. You see, I'll use the analogy of a baseball player. A baseball player is out there with a jersey on, right? It'd be really weird if a manager had to go say to a baseball player mid-game, hey, go get your jersey on. No, you already have your uniform on, okay? You already have your uniform. But depending on the situation, a baseball player either needs to use his bat or his glove. In the same way, there are things as believers we already have. That breastplate of righteousness, all right, that peace that's given to us, that belt of truth, we operate with those. We need to carry those every day. But then there's certain situations where we need to take up the shield of faith. It is action oriented. Now, when I was trying to understand this, even in studying scripture and reading books and all that stuff, I remember there was one night in the last couple of weeks where I woke up earlier than I wanted to and just kind of stressing about circumstances, just like I'm sure you can relate. And I thought to myself, I need the shield of faith. I need the shield of faith. But I didn't know how to take up the shield of faith. You know, I was like, where is my shield of faith? I am so stressed. I'm so overwhelmed by all the javelins, you know, blotting out the sun, falling on me right now. I need the shield of faith. Where is the shield of faith? I didn't know how to take it up. But taking up the shield of faith, taking up the shield of faith is actually when we choose to hold and take up the promises of God. So let's break this down for a sec. I told you what a shield is. Let's talk about faith. It's a shield of faith. What is faith? Hey, when reading the New Testament, when reading the conversations of Jesus, you'll notice that Jesus uses the F word a lot. Not that F word, all right? The word faith. He uses faith all the time. In fact, in the New Testament alone, faith is mentioned well over 200 times. When Jesus is talking to someone who's asked him to heal them, he uses the word faith. When he's rebuking the Pharisees, he uses the word faith. When he's challenging the disciples, he uses the word faith. He uses faith all over the place. What is faith? Faith, whenever faith is used, there's always an element of risk involved. And over the 200 references of faith in the New Testament, a lot of them, the majority of them, refer to an action-oriented context. It refers to action. See, here's what faith is. Faith is acting like God's promises are true. Faith is acting like God's promises are true. Let me try to explain this quickly here, okay? So one of my favorite verses, my real life verse, 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. It is one thing to know about God's love, right? It's one thing to know about God's promises. It's another thing to rely and put our weight on God's promises. For example, this chair. You might be wondering why I pulled it out, okay? Here's why. Because it's one thing to know that this chair should be able to hold me. It's one thing to know that. It's another thing to put my weight upon it, right? There's an element of risk involved when I put my weight on this chair. I know what you're thinking. It'd be pretty funny, right, if it totally caved on me. But there's an element of risk involved. Listen, every time faith is referenced, faith involves an element of risk. I know a lot of us maybe grew up like knowing the promises of God, but it's one thing to know the promises of God. It's another thing to move to where we're relying on the promises of God, where we're really putting our weight upon the promises. So much so that putting our weight on the promises looks like this, that if God's not telling the truth, if he's wrong, we're going to look like idiots, okay? So we put our weight on the fact that when God says he forgives our sin, we're putting our weight on the fact that it's true. We put our weight on the fact that when we lose our job, his promise is that he is sovereign and nothing takes him by surprise and he has immense purpose for our life. We put our weight on that. We put our weight on the fact that God really does love us, that we're the richest of the richest parts of his inheritance, that he's obsessed with us. He's consumed with his dearly loved children. We put our weight upon that. It's one thing to know. It's another thing to rely. Faith is acting like God's promises are true. It's like putting your weight upon the promises of God to the point that if God's wrong, we're going to look like fools. But that's the thing, right? We have faith that he's telling the truth. Second thing about faith. Faith is access to the blessings of God's promises. This was formational to me because going back to that imagery there I painted for you of waking up and wanting to access the shield of faith, but not knowing how to take up the shield of faith, what that looked like. I thought I needed more faith. But I didn't need more faith. I actually needed more truth. Faith is just access to experience the blessings of God. See, we all have faith. We all have faith. You as a business owner might have faith that, well, in yourself. You believe in you. And so you work from morning to night, you know, giving everything you got because you have faith that you can pull through and have a successful business. Maybe you have faith in the person you're in a relationship with, that he or she can fulfill you or give you significance or value, and you have faith in that person. We all have faith. The question is, what is our faith tied to? What is the truth? Who or what is the truth, the object of our faith? We all have the cart of faith, if you will, but what is it hitched to? For example, reading through Ephesians, there's a few references of faith in Ephesians where it says this. It says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, access. So what's it tied to? Well, that salvation is by grace, right? In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Through faith, access. What's it tied to? Well, the truth that we have freedom and confidence in our approach to God. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What's it tied to? The truth that Christ dwells in our hearts, right? So faith gives us access to experiencing the blessings of God. So this week, as you're overwhelmed, as you're surrounded, and I am too, okay, as we face all the chaos around us, what it looks like to take up our shield is here's something that we can do. We can find the fear and then claim the promise. Find the fear, claim the promise. So when you're overwhelmed, you look for that spiritual root and your anger and your worry and your fear and your dread and your hurt. You look to the spiritual root. And then you find the promise, the truth that attacks that at its root. For example, maybe you have fear of financial needs. It's crushing you right now. And so you need to hold to the truth that God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Maybe you feel called in a new direction. There's something bubbling that's new in your life, a whole new step for you, a new adventure. But it doesn't make sense. The money's not there. It's not all adding up. And you have to hold to the truth when God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and you have to hold to that. Maybe you feel alone, and you feel the weight on your chest of the assumption that life depends on you. So you have to hold to the truth that Jesus is saying, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Maybe you just received some heart-shattering news. And so you got to hold to the promise of Psalm 147. It says, God heals the brokenhearted and he binds their wounds. You got to hold to that. Maybe your spirit is exhausted or fearful that these racial tensions will just keep getting worse. So you got to hold to the promise of Revelation that gives hope. And it says, a great multitude, one day there will be a great multitude that no one can number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne of God and before the Lamb, clothed in white with palm branches in hand. Knowing how it ends gives us empowerment and encouragement to keep going and bringing heaven to earth and the here and now. Maybe you're overwhelmed by your precious children heading back to school, or you being their school teacher, right? And so we can find contentment in the promise of God that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Faith is accessing God's blessings in our life. We don't need more faith. All we need is a little mustard seed worth of faith. We need more truth. Find the fear, claim the promise, and choose faith over fear. All right, so here's the question, the obvious question. What's your next step of advancement? We know the devil is firing his flaming arrows, his javelins at us. Right, but we refuse to die the death of distraction. Instead, we will gear up, shields up, and keep moving forward. These shields were not just meant to be defensive, but to be offensive, right? To take ground for the kingdom, to live out our destiny as children of God. So in doing so, what's the next step of faith that God's calling from you? Is it to move on and move out from an unhealthy relationship? Is it to start a new discipline? Is it to commit to the physical training stemming from a health crisis? Is it to take a new job? Is it to leave your job, continue your education, start a new career? As you process all this, because I know discerning the will of God is not easy. We could have a whole series on discerning the will of God. Let me give you truths to consider as you try to discern what God's next step of advancement that he might be calling you to. Number one, these have all been huge for me. Talk to God. Talk to God about what you think he might be calling you to and ask him to expose your motives. It might be a really quick process. It might be a long process, but it's a process that never goes away. It never ends as we journey with Jesus. Two, don't assume that God's calling you to your worst nightmare. I fall into that sometimes. I'm like, if I'm kicking and screaming and I don't want to do it, it's a nightmare to me, then God must be calling me to it. Now, sometimes he does see the story of Jonah, but not all the time. Not all the time. So, don't pack your bags to be a missionary in North Korea, all right, tonight, or sell all your possessions and move into a monastery, okay? Don't assume the worst and that God's necessarily calling you to your worst nightmare. Three, he's an idol breaker, but he's not a cosmic killjoy, okay? Three, have your calling confirmed with God's word and people who know God and who know you. Priscilla Schreier's words here were really helpful to me. The bigger the step of faith, the bigger risk involved in what you think God might be calling you to, the more confirmation that you and I need from the people around us, the people who love God and know us. The bigger the step of faith, the bigger the risk, the more confirmation we need from both God's word and the people around us. Finally, remember, God's light can reveal different options. When you shine a light into the room, it doesn't just show you one path. It shows you many objects to avoid. It shows you different paths of which you can maneuver, all right? We pray for clarity. We ask God to give us clarity so that we'll know his will. But a lot of times when we don't get that clarity, we need to pray for trust. And we need to make decisions, even when there's multiple options, based upon the character and values of God. And then we step forward, trusting his purpose and his presence in our lives, no matter whether we stay or whether we move. But listen, here's how we take up the shield of faith. We take up the shield of faith by believing and acting on the promises of God. The devil has his arrows, but we have our shield. We take up the shield of faith by believing and acting on God's promises. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you've given us spiritual armor for a spiritual war. Jesus, would you fill us with truth? God, we all have faith. Would you please help our faith to be pointed to you, to be tied to you, to be hitched to your promises? Oh God, help us to have the belt of truth buckled up in our lives. Lord, that we would be wearing the breastplate of righteousness, knowing that we got nothing to prove to anyone, and we got nothing to lose either. We've been made right by God, and so we can go do right for God. Jesus, would you please help us to advance this week by taking up the shield of faith? Not assuming we just have it, but by finding the fear and claiming the promise and moving forward for a kingdom agenda that we would live out our destinies as children of God. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.